meekness. Let's define this word first, and then we will talk a little bit about it. Let me say this. This is a positive. Gentlemen, I need to say this to you especially. This is a positive Christian attribute. This is a positive Christian attribute. Sometimes there's certain words that we almost associate because of the, I think, somewhat perverted definition of manhood that exists in this generation, that there's certain words or certain attributes that we want to almost convince ourselves of that they are unmanly. But meekness is an attribute of Almighty God. Almighty God is all-powerful. Isn't that true? Amen. Almighty God he's just that. He's almighty. And this isn't a matter of weakness. This is a very important attribute that God wants to produce in our life. And so we're going to take a look at it this morning. Let me first of all start by defining what meekness is. Meekness, and if you do a word study on this and do a little bit of homework on it, a little study time on it, what meekness means is to be disciplined in your thinking, disciplined or sober-mindedness. It's disciplined strength. Well, that's important. Let me give you that again. It's disciplined strength. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is disciplined strength. Also, these words you'll find connected to meekness. Gentleness, to be saintly. It involves self-oppression or self-affliction. Okay, it's the harnessing of self, the controlling of self, the disciplining of self. Let me give you these thoughts. I think that meekness is ability masked in humility. It's ability masked in humility. It's knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, but those things are baptized in gentleness and lowliness. Did you get that? Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom baptized in gentleness and lowliness. See, meekness is not weakness. It is strength under control. I wrote this out because after I defined the word and felt like I had satisfied in my mind what this word means, I wrote this statement out. Meekness is the ability to accomplish great things and the wisdom to know that it was really God that did it. Let me give you that again. Meekness is the ability to accomplish great things and the wisdom to know that it was really God that did it. See, folks, meekness is not weakness. And meekness is not a lack of strength. Meekness is not a lack of wisdom or understanding or knowledge. Meekness is not a lack of ability. It's all of those things baptized or brought alongside gentleness and lowliness and discipline and sober-mindedness. It's the willingness to oppress self so that God could be magnified. It's John the Baptist in the wilderness saying, he must increase and I must decrease. That's what meekness is, you see. Meekness does not run around looking for the spotlight. Meekness does not try to climb the ladder to the top and step on whoever's head you have to get there. Meekness is the servant that serves in the church in the shadows. And you know what? They don't even care. They're just glad to have a part of God's work, you see. And that's what meekness is. Now, let me just, first of all, have you go, and we're going to use our Bibles quite a bit. Boy, I want to give you as much as I can, so if I talk fast, please listen fast and move quickly through your Bibles. But in the book of Numbers, chapter 12, let's first of all look quickly at this matter of meekness illustrated in the life of Moses. Numbers, chapter 12. Let's look at the meekness illustrated in the life of Moses. We're not going to teach through this whole story, but I just want to introduce this to you because I want to give you something that I think is a blessing to help you understand a little bit about our definition now and how we define meekness. Numbers chapter 12, it says in verse number 1, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it." Now, verse 3, very interesting. "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men that were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly to Moses and to Aaron and to the Miriam, Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out." And And we see here that Moses is identified with this word or with this attribute of meekness. Matter of fact, this is a pretty astounding verse. It says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." That doesn't mean that he's the meekest man that ever lived. We sometimes say that, but at this time, at this point in time in history, you could not search the world and find a man meeker than Moses. Now, the reason I wanted to bring this out, folks, is remember, we could say this, and the Bible definitely says that he was the meekest man that existed at that time on earth. But could I share this with you? And I think the argument could be made that you would also have a hard time finding anyone on the face of the earth at this time that was a greater leader.
Amen.
You think about that. You see, Moses may have even, and he probably is deserving of the greatest leader that Israel ever had in all of history. But here this man was also at the same time a great leader, and yet the Bible says this, that he was very meek above all the men that were upon the face of the earth. Now let me explain again what that means. That doesn't mean that Moses was not a great leader. It doesn't mean that he didn't have strength. It didn't mean that he didn't have ability. It didn't mean that he didn't have knowledge and understanding and wisdom. It's just that he had all of these things, and yet he had them disciplined. He had them constrained. He depressed or oppressed these things. He even went to the point of afflicting himself. He harnessed all these things, and he did not misuse any of his abilities so that he could glorify or magnify himself. He took all that he had, and he said, "I'm going to become a servant to these people. I'm going to love these people. I'm going to help these people. I'm going to lay aside what would be easiest or best for me, and I'm going to just do what God's called me to do to the very best of my ability." Now, that's what meekness is, you see. And Moses, this great, great leader, is set before us as an example of this matter of meekness, you see. Now, let me give you another example real quickly. Matthew chapter 21, because in these two examples, it will help solidify in our minds the definition of meekness. Matthew chapter number 21. Verse number 1, Matthew 21, verse 1. "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage and to the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee," notice this, "meek, sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass." And so here we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses being the example of a meek, strong leader, and Jesus Christ, meekness. Now let's just look at the life of Christ real quickly, and let's fast forward. Not only does the Bible say, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself." Watch this. "And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now, let me show you meekness. Meekness is Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Peter pulling his sword and defending him and cutting that ear off, and Jesus saying, "Put your sword away." You know why? Because Jesus needed to be strong enough to pay the price for our sins. And you know what? If he was going to, he had almighty strength, folks. He even told Peter, he said, "Listen, don't you think I could say one prayer, one word? Don't you think I could just think the thought and God would unleash legions of angels to come down here and wipe mankind off the face of the earth? Peter, I don't need your sword." He was strong enough that he had the strength where he could have delivered himself. But you know what? He was strong enough to harness that strength. He was strong enough to discipline that strength. He kept that strength pressed down or oppressed. You know why? Because, folks, he needed to get to the cross of Calvary. He needed to die for our sins. And so it wasn't that he didn't have the ability or the strength to defeat his enemies. He just knew that there was a better way to defeat his enemy. Boy, I wish we could get that. You know, sometimes we're so concerned about winning a battle, we lose the war. Are you listening to me? You know, we don't want to be offended or oppressed or held back in any area. But what if in doing so, the cause of Christ is advanced? And what's important, more important, the end of every day, laying your head on your pillow and say, I won that. Or fulfilling and finding and accomplishing God's perfect will for your life. You see, folks, not every day do you get to take steps forward. Sometimes you take steps backward. Are you listening to me? You know, you don't need to always win. Because you know what? Sometimes by winning, you lose. Just because you have the power, have the authority, doesn't mean it's always wise to exercise it. Sometimes it takes more strength not to exercise it than it does to exercise it.
Amen.
Are you listening to me, husbands? Are you listening to me, fathers? You see, I think too many times we just get in this battle of wills. We just want to prove we can because we can. And it's not for the good of the marriage or the good of the household. It's just a power struggle. A matter of control. You see, every decision that you make, you ought to have some long-term goal that's going to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. You see, that's what meekness is. Meekness is, yes, I have the strength. Yes, I have the authority. Yes, I have the ability. Yes, but you know what? Also, it's not time. It's just not time right now. And Jesus, you know what? There was going to be a day he's going to be glorified. There's going to be a day he's going to be exalted. There's going to be a day he shows back up and he's no longer the lamb, but he'll be the lion of the tribe of Judah. But you know what? There was something more important that he needed to accomplish, and it was the salvation of the entire world, or at least the ability to offer salvation to the entire world. And so think about these things, folks. Meekness, disciplined strength, not weakness, but strength under control. Now, let me give you several things here that I think will be a blessing and help to you, okay? Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Since we're in Matthew, let's go to that one next. Matthew chapter number 5, verse 5. Now, we live in a world of bullies. No, we really do. You thought that was done when you got out of elementary? You thought that was done when you got out of high school? We got a bunch of people in society that are trying to gain some advantage and gain some power or authority just for the purpose of exercising it upon other people. And we do. Where people think that's greatness. If I can just get to the point where I can boss everyone around. You see, there's a matter of meekness to consider. I want to give you some things. Let me first of all say this, and I want to get to some of the main points. But look in the Beatitudes, verse number 5. This, of course, is a part of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, a lot of times what we've been sold by the world is a bill of goods. You know how you get inherit a position or inherit authority? You know how you get what you want? You run over people. You bully people. You slice people's throats and stab them in the back. You do whatever you have to do to get one more step up the ladder. And you know what God says? God says this. You know what I do? I look down and I look for meekness in an individual. Look right up here. I look for meekness in an individual. And what I do is I reward them with blessing. Is that what this verse said? Blessed are the meek. And also I'll see to it that they inherit. And I will tell you that this is absolutely the truth. You know what? You can do everything that you have in the power of man and the flesh to do to advance yourself. by bullying or mistreating people or misusing people. And short term, it may seem to work. But I will promise you this, that the guy that eventually will be at the top of the ladder will be some guy that had more strength than the guy that's the loudmouth. But you know what? He harnessed that strength, and he was more concerned about helping people than he was advancing himself. And you know what? Folks, you're going to find out that even in the world, authority is not stupid. And sooner or later, they're going to plug somebody in that has the good of the company in mind, not just the good of themselves in mind. You see. Now, I know the world. I don't expect the world to be fair or act fair, and I'm not going to try to pretend that it's always done that way. And many good men in this room have been bypassed for advancement simply because you won't join a certain lodge or drink with the bosses. But let me share something with you. You know what? In the long run, in the long term, you know what? If you'll do the right thing and go to work with the right mentality, and by the way, this goes right in the church too, if you'll minister for the right reasons, you know what you're going to find out? That God says, I will bless you, and I'll see to it that you inherit the things that I wanted you to have. And you know, folks, at the end of the day, if God does that for us, we are a blessed people. Amen. And so I wanted to give that to you. Don't worry about trying to keep up with the world or when you see somebody that seems to pass you and they're using the wrong methods and they're ignoring Bible principle. Listen, I've gone down the road a little bit. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And you know what? God has a way of seeing that everything evens out. So do the right thing and do things for the right reasons. Now, let me go to Matthew chapter number 11. Let's go there. I want to teach you a few things here on meekness, because what we're trying to do at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I want you to listen to this. Boy, I want you to listen to this, because what I'm going to give you in the next 5 to 10 minutes is so important, is what we're trying to do at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is Pastor, I think, pointed our church in the right direction, because he said, we don't want to just produce fruit. We want to produce fruit trees. And I think that that's very important. Now, let me explain that. See, we don't want to just produce people in the pews. We want to produce people in the pews who can produce people in the pews. Okay? Can I just give you this? We need people that understand servant leadership. And if you don't understand meekness, then you know what? You're going to have it. And if you don't get this attribute and ask the Holy Spirit to put this attribute in you, you are going to stymie the ability for God to use you in a leadership capacity. You're just going to stymie it. You know, some people are so enamored by a title. What they ultimately want is a position or authority so that they can lord it over somebody else. You have no concept of what servant leadership is and what leadership is as defined by the Bible. The disciples are arguing amongst themselves who's the greatest disciple. They're falling behind Jesus and arguing about who the greatest disciple is among them. Jesus said, I'll tell you the greatest one is your servant. The one that's the biggest servant, the greatest servant in the group, is the greatest disciple. You see, and we're talking about meekness here. And without meekness, folks, you're going to have a hard time leading people and helping people. Matthew chapter number 11, verse 28. I love this because this is very important. And let me just give you some thoughts here and teach you some things. And by the way, tonight I'm going to be teaching, and I'll be actually using this portion of Scripture again if the Lord doesn't change my mind. But I'm going to be giving you not just what's in this portion of Scripture, but I want to teach you in depth of what I'm going to introduce a little bit here in the next few minutes. But notice verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Boy, there's a lot in this. Whew. Let me see what I can do as far as trying to stay on track here with this matter of meekness. Notice this. Jesus says this. He sees that some of us are laboring and are heavy laden. You ever feel that way, that life is just wearing you down? You ever feel like, you know what, I don't know if I can get out of bed tomorrow morning. I don't know if I can get through the day here. And Jesus said this. He said, listen, and by the way, people that get in that situation need help. They need help. And Jesus recognizes this. He says, listen, you need some help. So he said, let me give you something. I want to give you a yoke. Well, wait a minute, Lord. I just thought you understood that I'm already heavy laden. I'm already laboring. I'm having a hard enough time carrying what's on me now. And your cure to this is to hand me this big old heavy yoke. Most of you know what a yoke is. If you've seen one that was used with oxen or cattle or those big old Belgian horses, it takes the strength of two and combines it into one. So at first, when we're given a yoke, we're like, what do you mean a yoke? And by the way, can I say this? Not too many of us, the human side of us, care much about the idea of being in a yoke. But I could take you all through the Bible and show you that God again and again and again recommends it. He even goes as far as to say it's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Now, all right, Lord, thank you. Thank you. That solves a lot. I've already got all these problems and you want me to put this on. Well, he doesn't just give you a yoke. He then slides in that yoke beside you. Now, by the way, this is very important because, folks, this what I want to give you is leadership principles, and I want to tie it to meekness here. Somebody that is leading somebody, the purpose of leadership is to help somebody. Purpose of leadership is to serve somebody. Purpose of leadership is to be a blessing to somebody. Purpose of leadership is not to push somebody down, but to lift them up. And that qualifies you to be a good leader. If you can help people, then you can lead. If you hurt people, you're not a good leader. Okay, so you recognize, you know, Jesus didn't say, come to me all ye that are laboring or heavy laden, and I'll come around behind you and kick you in the backside. He didn't say that. He said, take a yoke upon you, and I'll get in that yoke, and I'll help you. By the way, he didn't say, and this is a lot of times what we say, leave your heavy burden at the cross. He didn't say, sometimes preachers say, come up here on the altar and you leave your burden with the Lord. You know, folks, you know what? According to this, God doesn't say, I'm going to take your burden. You know, whether or not we understand this or not, or want to believe this or not, we need our burdens. If you never had to lift anything or carry anything, you'd be a weakling. If you never had to lift or carry anything, you'd be a weakling. And God's not about taking our burdens away. God says, sometimes I've given you a burden and I want you to carry it. But what I'll do is this. I'll get in beside you and help you. And if I see you're bogged down and you're not making it, what I'll do is I'll pull in beside you. Now, by the way, when he gets in that yoke, what's he going to do in that yoke? Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, what he's going to do, listen, have you ever given your son or your daughter a task and immediately you can see that they're overwhelmed? They either don't know, understand how to do the task or it's too hard for them to do. Now, here's the biggest mistake you can make. Just get away from it. Good night. What are you doing? I should have known you couldn't do it. Just go on and I'll do it myself. Now, you haven't helped that child a bit. What they need is somebody to come along beside them and say, let me help you in this task. And by the way, while you're helping them, you're teaching them how to do it. And when I have Jesus come in beside me, he says, let me show you how to handle this burden. Let me show you how to pull this load. Learn of me. Now, by the way, this is what I think. I think after every burden and Christ comes along and helps me, the next time I ought to be able to carry a bigger burden because I should have learned something from him. By the way, they train these big oxen, these big Belgian horses. You know what they do? They take an old experienced one, then they take a younger one and they put it in there beside him. And that younger one doesn't know how to do it or what to do it. But you know what? If he'll stay there long enough by the experienced one, it won't be long and he'll learn how to do it. And this is what it's all about. Leadership isn't about necessarily taking opportunities away or doing something for somebody. It's about watching, and when they're getting stuck, coming in and providing a yoke and getting the thing going again. Now watch this, because I really believe this. And then you know what? You know, a yoke, if you ever, you know, one guy can slack off a little and the other one can carry the weight a little. And the other one, Now, the idea is you want to get it where both of them are. But I think sometimes what we want to do as leaders, and it's very important, is to sometimes just get things going for them again. But you know what? It doesn't hurt to just back off a little bit, because they're not going to become strong if they don't help in the pulling. You know, it's like the kid in school puts his flag up, you know, and he basically wants to play the little game with the teacher called, "Can I get the teacher to tell me the answer?" All right. Yeah, that happens in Blessed Hope Baptist School. Sometimes they put the flag up and they look up there, and I've read this thing hundreds of times, thousands of times I've read this, and the answer is not in there. It's just not in there. And then they look at you like, "Please tell me. Just please tell me the answer. I got my pencil ready. I'm ready to write it in. Just tell me what the answer is." Now, if a teacher does that, you know what? They've done them a disservice. Because all they've done is take the burden that they were carrying and they lift it for them, and they do not allow them to gain any knowledge or any strength or any wisdom or even the ability to know how to learn how to find an answer. They rob them of all of those things. So the yoke is for learning. Now let me just say, after I said all of this, verse 29, this is what I really want to get to. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Now notice this, "for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Boy, this is important. Now you can say, well, you know, here's leadership, folks. Leadership is the old Belgium teaching the young Belgium how to pull. But you know what? A lot of times what we want to do is we want to get in the yoke with them, and then we want to berate them. Or we want to put them down. Or we want to say, "I can't believe I got to take the time to do this. You're so stupid," and all of this other thing. Notice what Jesus said. He said, even in the teaching process, when I come beside you, I don't come with a condescending spirit. He said, I come in meekness. Now, he has the strength. If he wanted to, he could take off and walk. But you know what? He's got that disciplined strength. He said, I'll use some of my strength, but you're going to use some of yours, because I gave you this burden for a reason, to build you. Well, I hope we can get this. I think some of us are mad at God because God gave us something we have to carry, and we're mad at God because God won't take it away. Maybe God doesn't want to take it away. Maybe you're supposed to learn something from him in the yoke. And by the way, he'll come along beside you and he'll help you, and he does it. Listen, he doesn't come down and put you down. He doesn't come down and berate you for not being able to carry the load and burden. He comes with a meekness, lowly in heart. And notice this, not only does he then allow you to be able to pull the burden, but he provides for you a rest unto your soul. And that's the whole purpose. The whole purpose of leadership is to train somebody how to do it, and to do it in such a way where at the end of it, their soul's not aggravated. This takes some wisdom. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Yeah, two can pull better than one, that's for sure. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. I'm talking about, folks, listen, we've got people all over this classroom right now that are involved in different ministries. Brother J.R., if you go into that jail, and you don't, I know you don't, but if you and Brother Klein and the other men that go to the jail go into that jail, and you walk in there with a haughty look down your nose, "I'm glad I'm not like you scum of the earth that's landed in jail," and you think you're going to help them, you will not help them. You walk into a Sunday school classroom and you look down your nose at these students, and you're there to display your knowledge and your wisdom and point out their weaknesses and rub their weaknesses in there. You don't get it. You see, leadership comes in there and says, "Listen, there's something I want you to learn, and I'm not telling you to stick your head in somewhere where I won't stick my head alongside of it. And I'll help you to learn. I'll help you to gain strength. I'll help you to build." Galatians chapter 6. I get to talking and stop turning. And verse number 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of" what? "Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." In this matter, not only of teaching and training, but in this matter of restoration. You know who is good at restoring people that have fallen? Meek people, spiritual people. You know, folks, everybody in this room, at some point in your Christian life, is going to stumble and fall flat on your face. Well, not me. Well, you're probably there right now and you don't realize it. Okay? And I'm telling you, if you listen, I've spent a lifetime. I'm convinced that, I told my wife this the other day, I'm convinced that one of the reasons God put me at the Bible college he did and involved me in the inner city ministries that I was involved in for 6 years, going into inner city Chicago and helping young people that absolutely, listen folks, there was more of them that messed up than made it. There was, you know, every once in a while I'll get up and tell a glory story. Well, let me tell you something. For every glory story, I could tell you 150 horrible, tragic stories. But you know what? I think God planted me right there, so I learned that when people fall, somebody's got to be there to pick them up. Somebody's got to be there to help them. Somebody's got to be there to reassure them, and somebody's got to be there to tell them that God's not done with them. And, you know, folks, listen to me. If you enjoy, you get some kind of a perverse enjoyment by watching some other Christian stumble and fall, all I can say to you is God help you. Amen. Honestly, God help you. You don't have clue on about what it means to be like Jesus Christ. And if your answer to that problem is to go alongside him and kick him in the ribs and scream down at him, you don't have clue on. And by the way, you shouldn't be in any leadership position. You should not be in any leadership position in the church. None. Because this matter of being spiritual, in an instant, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one the spirit of meekness. Now, am I misreading this? I think God's taking spirituality and saying part of spirituality is understanding the spirit of meekness. You see? And so, please be careful, folks. Listen to me. In our Christian school, I've said this to our monitors in training. I say it to our teachers. I say it and say it and say it and say it, and I think most of the time it's followed. Every once in a while I hear something and I just want to go ballistic. You know what? Every time a kid has a bad day or messes up or gets detention or does something stupid in school, you should not leave that school and broadcast that all over the church. Now, I'm going to start praying God cuts your tongue out or makes you lose your voice. I mean it. I get so aggravated and mad, I don't understand why somebody takes a perverse enjoyment in going around telling about bad things, you know, and the same people. How come they won't go tell about the good things that the kids do and the times they do outstanding things? You know that you know why? Because you got a perverted appetite. You know, Bible tells us that true love, true charity, it doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. I don't understand this. Somebody come to my office and explain this to me sometime. I mean, I really, no, don't, because I don't want to understand it. I don't want to give it credit. Now, what I'm saying, folks, is this. Meekness is important. If you're going to lead, if you're going to touch people's lives, if you're going to work with people, then you need to ask the Holy Spirit to humble you and give you a lowliness of mind and a lowliness of heart and a realization that, the purpose that God has allowed you to grow in areas of grace is not so that you can feel superior. It's so that you then know the road of growth. You know, listen, Harriet Tubman, you know who she was? She was allowed to escape slavery in the South and make it to the North. So you know what she did? She said, I know how to get out of that now. So she took dozens, they're not even sure how many, scores of trips. That woman did. Back into the South and found people that were enslaved like she was and led them out. Amen. Brother, I was enslaved. And by the grace of God, God led me out. Now I shouldn't be over here talking bad about the slaves. I should say I was one. And so God's given me a measure of grace and delivered me in some areas, not so I could feel superior to the people that haven't been delivered, but so that I could learn the road so I could go back. And she helped develop what was known as the Underground Railroad and brought out thousands and thousands of slaves into freedom. Now that to me is leadership, you see. And so Moses was that way. Jesus was this way. Jesus Christ set us for this example, even on Calvary's cross. He could have said a few words, folks, and been delivered from that whole mess. But you know what he did? He hung there and died. You know why? Because even though he was all the Almighty God, he suppressed that, harnessed that, kept all that power and strength in check. He let men do to him the unthinkable. Because you know what? It was better for us. It wasn't better for him. It wasn't better for him. It was better. It was better for us. And so, listen, leaders, let me say something. If you're going to come to my office, and I don't have anybody in mind, I don't think anybody's done this lately, so if you don't get upset with me. But if you want to, it's not a matter of coming to my office and griping about your workers and your helpers. It's not, so many people want to lead, but what they want is a perfect situation. Okay, what you need to do is take something that's a mess and go into that and help those people get to the point where they're not a mess. Help them out. Bring them along. And that takes a lowliness of heart. If you have a condescending attitude, I've been soul winning, Brother Steve, with people that I'm preacher sometimes. Just talk to people like, they know they're lost and they're almost glad they are. I say guys preach on hell as if they were glad people that were lost was going there. I mean, there needs to be a touch of this meekness get into our thinking, into our heart. Well, I can get results the other way. You may be able to get results the other way, but you won't change lives the other way. Now, you may be able to get people to do some things, but you don't change what's in here.